All right. Hello, hello. John S. Rhodes here with Mark Soberman. And I'm really excited about this. Mark is the force behind NetPix. The company was founded quite a long time ago, right? Back in the late 90s, 1996, as an online trading and day trading platform as it was coming out into the world. Mark jumped on this, right? Because the internet's taking hold, things are moving forward. Mark sees the opportunity and he jumps on it. NetPix has consistently been the gold standard in providing trading education. We're talking about systems to signals, Forex, futures, stocks, options, ETFs, day trading, of course, swing trading, all of the above. What you need to remember, even if you're not interested or don't know much about the financial industry, is that this is a very lucrative industry. There's a lot to learn from people that are in it, like Mark Soberman. With NetPix, the concentration really is on helping regular, ordinary, everyday traders achieve success in the markets. Now, Mark and his trained staff of real trading professionals brings this wealth of trading experience to the market, and they're able to sell a whole bunch of stuff, of course, as a result of that. They've got over 25 years of personal trading experience, 17 years of training education experience. Mark's got a full staff of real traders. They're passionate about helping traders and obviously investors reach their trading goals. So this is a real business. NetPix is a real business. It's a long-term success. We're talking about winning traders who are educating the market, individuals, ordinary folks, okay? So, and we're also talking about something very important here. We're talking about millions of dollars of income through NetPix for Mark's business by helping, again, these ordinary traders, average, everyday ordinary folks, and they're becoming extraordinary through Mark, his team, his company, NetPix, and obviously I'm really excited about this. We're going to talk about, just so you know, as an agenda, so to speak, Mark's going to give us his background. You're going to learn about NetPix, the business, and then we have some very specific questions, some very specific things that we're going to be diving into as it relates to traffic, right? Getting people to your website and how that relates to Mark's business, and also list building, very importantly, in this business, and again, how that relates to you. So Mark, thank you so much for being here today. I'm really, really excited about not just this topic, but your business and you as an individual. You're a real inspiration to me. This is just really, really such an honor to be with you today.
Yeah, thanks so much, John. That was a fantastic introduction. I do not think I actually could have put together any better than that. So I do really appreciate all those kind words, and really happy to be able to share some of what we've done to be successful over the years, including some of the mistakes maybe that we've made along the way. But though we've been doing this a long time, NetPix and the skills that I've learned in this business have opened up so many doors in a number of different niches. So I realize that people listening here, they may or may not have a big interest in our specific niche. But what I have found is everything that we've sort of learned from, you know, the test lab of NetPix has actually been able to port over to a number of different niches, whether that's, you know, e-commerce, Amazon branding, lead generation, content websites, buying and selling websites. I've used these skill sets across the board over the last couple decades. So hopefully here over the next little bit, we can share some of those details with everybody.
Yeah, and this is a, again, this is a real business. We're talking at the highest level, the strategic skills, Mark, that you bring to the table, and also some of the very specific tactical skills. So this is full scope. We're talking at the very highest levels down to the boots on the ground, fingers on the keyboard level where the real action happens. So just very briefly, what's your background and experience, and what really brought you into this world?
Sure. So I did not come from, for instance, the niche that I got into, which was trading and investing. Sometimes people, especially back in the day, you know, they would ask, you know, well, were you a trader? Were you on Wall Street, et cetera? Absolutely not. This was just an interest that turned into a passion for myself. I became self-educated. I started applying it in real life. had some success after definitely a lot of failure. And when I went from the failure point to the success point, it was just a need that I identified. I was like, look, if I went down this, you know, this journey and I had this struggle, I've got to believe that there are many others who have had the same challenges, the same struggles, and perhaps I can solve that pain point. And for everybody thinking about their niches and maybe what they want to get involved in, that's one really great place to start. Certainly look for something that you do have an interest and a passion in, and see if it can actually solve a problem or pain point for everybody. It's going to be so much easier in the beginning if you actually like what you're doing and you're passionate about it, whether it's from creating content to anything that you do, it's so much easier. And I think a lot of people, a mistake that's made is they find opportunity first. And that's great because you don't want to get into a business or something online where there is no opportunity or no market. So sure, you absolutely need to have that. But the worst thing you can do is to get into something that you have really zero interest in. You're looking at it just as almost a money grab. And I see those never work out if that's the case. You just have to have some kind of natural, it just gets you excited. And maybe you talk to four other people you know, and it doesn't get them excited at all. That's perfectly good. That's what you're looking for. You're looking for that niche, that thing that's going to really spark that imagination. So for me, that's what I had. So I knew I had an opportunity. I knew I had a solve for that pain point. And it was a lot of pain because it meant people were losing, myself included, a lot of money and a lot of wasted time. So that's kind of where I started. But I was working in corporate America. I did not have any funding. I started this completely from scratch with basically zero cash. I was the guy working at my job who had the boss key on the keyboard. And when the boss came by, I would hit that. So I would get back to my, you know, my daily grind and my daily job. But that was the best way to do it. So I did not go full time right away. That probably took me probably a good 6 months to get to the point where I thought, you know, maybe I can take the leap to full time. Now, granted, that was a long time ago, but this is the exact same path I would follow again. And I would suggest anybody follow is, you know, obviously we can, thanks to the internet, you know, we can build these at night. We can build these on the weekend. We can build these in our off hours and spare time. You got to give it a little bit of time, you know, to get to the point where maybe you can go part-time then into full-time, but it's absolutely very achievable. And, you know, the thing for me, I know that John will be talking about, you know, what are some of the keys that got us here and got us to this point. A lot of it we'll probably talk about is email and lead generation, but I just kind of like to tell people what this is, you know, done for me, why this is so powerful, why email marketing and lead generation is so powerful. Well, you know, NetPicks, like John mentioned, is a significant business. I mean, over the years, we've done mid eight figures, so over $50 million in sales. And by the way, at very high profit margins, because this is not like an e-commerce website. We're not having to buy something to sell it. It's virtually all, you could say, gross profit. Of course, you have expenses in a business like this. But this opened the door for me to also get involved in other businesses. I could use the same skill set. So for instance, years back, I was involved in and purchased and then sold one of the largest daily deal e-commerce websites. If you want to know the engine behind that success, it was all email. It was a daily email that got sent out with a deal and some entertaining content. I've used the same list that we have with a relationship. We've raised capital to build a large data center, again, a separate project altogether that's currently involved in cryptocurrency and eventually going to be involved in AI. That was a seven-figure raise. Again, all just from an email list, all just through having a relationship with a list. You know, I've got customers in over 110 countries. I've personally have traveled to over 70 countries, by the way, running this business every step of the way. So I've been able to go all over the world, but never had a problem thanks to the internet. And again, having this asset that is so substantial. There's other businesses I've gotten involved in. For instance, a lot of you out there, maybe you've heard a little bit about things like Amazon or Amazon, you know, branding, or you get on Amazon, you sell products. And I've got three brands on Amazon right now. But you know what? I wouldn't even put those nearly as valuable as list building and email, because you don't own anything there, right? You don't own the customer. You don't own the email list. So yeah, it's a very fascinating opportunity. But honestly, it's the one that we probably have the least control of and the highest amount of risk, surprisingly. So we'll probably circle back to this a number of times, John. But you know, email and list building, that is really the key. If you want to know the secret to my success, that's been it. That's it.
Wow. I mean, we could stop right now. And the value here is extraordinarily high. You've already dropped four or five really mind bombs, if you ask me. I want to summarize one quick chunk right up front, and that's that you can and should have an interest and a driving passion in what you're doing for the energy that gives you, and then you then narrow down to identify the need in the market. What problems do people really have in that market? And then, are there people in that market? Because they could be suffering, they could have needs, but do they also have money? So now you've got the energy, the focus, you've got an ability to go after those folks, you know that they have money, and that is sort of the foundation of the business. Then you're adding on the email marketing, grabbing the email list, nurturing, right, building the relationship, and then the money starts to really come in. It starts to multiply. So I'm super excited about that. I love that as the foundation. And I also love the sort of the next chunk, Mark, where you had mentioned, look, getting started does not have to take money. In other words, you don't need money to make money like so many people like to say. They say, oh, you've got so much money. Well, you've got so much money now, or so much money has flowed into the business. But really, no funds, zero cash, bootstrapping, side hustle. But that is because of email marketing. It's from growing the email list. That's the foundation. That's really the key. Once we understand the energy, the need in the market, and the passion, all driving into the delivery through email and the relationship through email, the doors start to really open up here. So that part of your story, it works for anyone. It's not something that's pie in the sky. This is exactly what anyone can do. And then the sheer amount of money, Mark, wow, over $50 million, and it's very, very high profit. Where does the high profit part of this come from? We'll get to the email marketing in a moment, but with that amount of money coming in, you're saying, hey, also, you're not carrying inventory, obviously. There's not super high, crazy cost, but why such a high profit margin in this market? When you send out an email, why do you make so much money back, and why are the profit margins so high?
Sure. I mean, the value is in the information. One of the great things about being involved in information publishing, and like John mentioned, you absolutely do have to solve for a need, and you absolutely have to go after a market that can spend some money. That's essential. It doesn't have to be in finance. I mean, there's so many niches and areas that people are more than happy to spend some money on a solution if you can just solve a pain point for them. But those are, definitely required to have that. But the value here with information publishing is, one, that the cost that we have, it's basically all virtual. So if we're running a membership site, right, yes, we may have a small monthly fee, but that monthly fee hardly ever changes whether I have 10 members, 500 members, or 1,000 members. I mean, it's almost a fixed cost at that point. It's not a variable. So that is one of the real keys when you provide information. It can be membership, it can be course, it can be video. The costs these days are next to nothing in providing information to people. The second thing that is really important is typically when you're solving for a problem and you're in a niche, there's probably multiple problems that those people are experiencing, and they really want to stay with you. We have people, for instance, a product of ours might sell for, under $1,000, $500, $1,000. We have things that go for under $100. But I have many, many customers that over the years have spent over $20,000 with us because they love what we produce. They're willing to buy anything new that comes out. They already know what quality to expect. But then again, don't forget, on those people, I'm not even having to spend money on the lead generation, on any kind of advertising. I mean, these are people we just have a relationship with, and it's virtually at that point 100% profit because there's so little actual cost in delivering, in particular these days, this type of information or this type of information publishing. So that's the main reason that it can be so dramatically better, I think, than e-commerce or starting to buy physical product. And look, I think there's great opportunities there, but there's a whole other set of risks when it comes to inventory and physical product versus information.
Wow, $20,000 clients, one sale at a time. And what comes to mind are two factors here. One is that they love the quality, they love the style, they love the approach, they love the business. And of course, that means they, know, like, and trust Mark and NetPix and the team. So that's the first sort of pillar. The second pillar, Mark, that I'm hearing is the only, reading between the lines, really, but I'm hearing this is that you are providing true value and ultimately real results. Now, people have to do a little bit of work, but you're delivering so much knowledge. You're delivering what they need, so they are able to extract value from what you provide. and get real results, because no one in their right mind is going to spend $20,000 and not get many times that money back. So, you know, bravo, kudos to your company for providing that, you know, creating that level of value. I think that is just absolutely fantastic. And it sort of plays into know the market, know that the buyers are there, but provide high quality training, education, knowledge, and ultimately results for the end user through email. That's the way that you interact with folks to drive up the profit margin so much higher. So let's shift a little bit here and let's talk about your very first email list. How did you get the ball rolling? Because obviously the results now are fantastic, right? But not everyone is where you are at right now. Very few people are. So how did you get started with list building and list marketing?
Sure. So in the very beginning, I mean, I guess in some ways I was lucky because, look, I mean, I did have some good timing. But I'll be honest, in the very beginning, I was not even building a list. I wish that we would have. And you'll hear this from a lot of people who've been, whether it's in my niche or have been online a long time, we all kind of wish we would have known some things that we'll share here that if we would have done from day one, we would have been that much better off that much faster. So I did not do in the beginning just regular lead generation, meaning I did not offer something like a giveaway for free on my website in return for their email. I mean, this was when I started, of course, back in the day where we still had some people who were still trying to figure out how to use email, right? So they were wanting something by fax. I mean, this is, you know, the good old days, not that long ago, but that's just kind of how it was as far as the way that tech has moved over time. So initially for us, it was really just people taking free trials to our service. And we had a options picking service. It would come out three times a week via email. And we would offer, however, a free trial. So that was kind of a savings grace for me because a lot of people at the time, oh, okay, sure, I'll take a free trial. So it wasn't quite the same as a lead gen because I did require, you know, a credit card had to go in even though it wasn't charged. So there were some roadblocks. There were some hurdles and obstacles that I was putting up that I just, you know, later on realized, oh, that probably was not my best idea. In addition, I didn't really have the opportunity to kind of nurture these people, like John mentioned, to be able to build a little bit of a relationship. Now, back then, it wasn't quite as essential because this was all new. But these days, I will tell you that that relationship building is essential. Yes, you absolutely can come out of the gate fairly aggressively selling to somebody. You know, don't ever be shy or don't ever be ashamed of selling something that you have. If you know the quality is great, be proud of it and be aggressive with it. However, you have to also provide value right up front, and you have to continue to provide value because what's going to happen in the first cycle, there are a very low percentage of people are probably going to end up buying something from you. And that's fine. That just establishes that, yes, I've got something that is marketable and sellable. But you build that relationship, and second time you relaunch that product, the conversion rates are going to go up substantially, and the third time and so on. So you continue to build that relationship. You don't give up on people because the first go around, they're not buyers. And that is one thing that's significantly changed today versus when I first started. So you can say I had a benefit because it was a little bit easier back then to get people to convert, but I would argue my market was a fraction of a fraction of what it is today. I mean, there were so many less people online at that time. You just need to kind of, you know, alter and just sort of modify how you do things and just realize that, yes, developing that relationship with the list, talking to them like you would talk in a conversation is really essential. It builds that trust, and that trust is what's going to get them to want to buy from you. And by the way, it just reminds me, understand that today another big shift that we've identified, and so have a lot of other people, is people want to buy from other people. There was a time years ago where it was more important that you looked as glossy and as professional as possible. Your videos looked overproduced. Your websites looked amazing. It's actually flipped these days. These days, people actually want to buy from somebody. They want to maybe look them in the eye. They want to see them on a video. They want you to sign the email with your name. They want to know who you are. They want to know your background. You do all that, and they're going to trust you. You come across like a glossy, kind of unknowable, right, business or corporation, the trust will not be there. You're going to have an extremely difficult time to convert. So it just kind of reminded me just to get that out because I think that's really important. And I think that's actually easier. It actually makes so many things today easier when you can just kind of be yourself, have a bit of a personality, communicate with people like you would converse with them, you know, in the street. It's so much simpler to do that than to try to be, you know, the glossy copywriter or have perfect, you know, all your materials have to be perfect. That's one thing you absolutely do not have to do. So John, those are just a few of the things I would say on that.
Yeah, you've really dialed it in. I was going to ask you, how do you build that relationship? And it's like, be yourself, be real, be human, talk about things that are real in your life and your business, and then people resonate with that. So that was a question I was going to ask. How do you build a relationship? That's literally what you just explained, which is awesome. How do you provide that extra value, though? And let me kind of sort of qualify this by asking, how do you know what ought to be free versus what ought to be paid when you're reacting, or you're writing, or you're interacting through NetPicks or through your email list? Again, how do you provide that extra value, and more importantly, free versus paid? How do you decide?
Sure, I would tell people that free should be a little painful. Meaning that what you're giving away, you really should, and maybe you could argue, well, you could charge for it, and maybe you could argue you should charge for. That's going to be the type of level of giveaway you need to put out there. There are a lot of giveaways. We've all given our emails, you know, dozens, hundreds of times, and let's be honest, probably 80, 90% of the time, what we get is kind of garbage. It's regurgitated from somebody else. It's PLR, right? It's just something that somebody else saw out there, and they grabbed it, and they're repackaging it. And they're just, you know, giving it to you as their freebie. That's not going to build a relationship. That's not going to build any trust. So it needs to be a little bit painful. It needs to be something that you're like, wow, I'm kind of, in a way, giving away a little bit of my secret. I think that's exactly what you want to do. Because if you do that, then people are going to go, wow, this is amazing. This is what he's giving away. What possibly kind of value can I get out of something that he's selling? So I think that's really, really essential that you make sure that the value is really something that can be sold. And in your heart of hearts, you believe that. Don't just say, oh, it's worth $97 or $47. Is it truly worth that? And even better, is it worth a multiple of that? Then you've got something that's a really good giveaway. The second thing is, make sure that it's fairly easy to consume. Over the years, we've done some giveaways that were super high value, but they were kind of complicated. In fact, at one point we gave away a trading system that was software. It had to be downloaded, installed. You had to learn how to use it. I would tell you that was probably worth $1,000, honestly. But for people consuming it, when we went back and looked at the stats, it was like 10% or less were actually installing it and even starting to use it. So yes, we gave them high value. I don't think anybody would have been offended by it, but unfortunately they didn't get to know us because they actually couldn't start to use it. So if your giveaway can be a short video, a hack, a cheat sheet, 7 tips to whatever, but they're high quality tips, right? Not things that are regurgitated, you know, perhaps a resource or a tool that you use that not a lot of people know about that you can take them through and just give them a demo and show them how to use it. That's going to be something that can be easy to consume, but a game changer for your audience and your niche. So I think if you do those two things, then you've got a hot giveaway. You've already started to build this relationship. Then these people are chomping at the bit to know what else you have to offer them.
Yeah, instant use, less is more. I also love the idea that it's so good that it hurts to give away. I've even heard in the past that you could give away 80% of what would be inside of an actual paid course and still turn around and actually charge people, because the remaining 20% is so good, but also people like to be reminded of what they learned for free. So there's no point in totally separating the two. You could have a little bit of the free over and paid and vice versa. So a couple of different little strategies there. Now you had mentioned a couple things, Mark, early on about wishing that you had known some things about building your email list. What haven't you touched on yet regarding what you wish you would have known and done differently?
Sure. Well, a couple of things on that. I want to just kind of follow up one quick thing that John had said and reminded me, for instance, when we do webinars, right? So, and not everybody has to do webinars, but we're very comfortable doing those, and they can be super productive, especially on little higher dollar products. But one thing in our webinars that we do is we pretty much like to give away the entire system. But what you again want to do, like John said, give away that super high value. But one thing we maybe don't give away is the automation part of it, or the software part of it, or the done for you. Can I show people? Yes, if you follow what we show you in this webinar, you could go ahead and do it for yourself. But it's going to be a lot of work, and it's going to be a lot of effort, but it's super high value. And you know what? Most people, they just don't want maybe all of that work and effort. And if you can say, but we offer this service or this software, this upgrade that will make this solution much easier, then you've just solved for the problem. You provided a solution to their pain point, and now you just solve for the problem of being hard work and hard effort. So again, think about it that way. Don't be afraid to share a lot with them, as long as the thing that you're holding out on, you know, the tool that you have or the solution or the service or whatever it is, the done for you program that you do, provides kind of like a way to make that much easier and streamlined. That's what everybody's going to want to go ahead and purchase and buy from you. So it just reminded me of that. As far as on the lead generation side of things, I believe you need to be very aggressive with lead generation. So for instance, on our netpicks.com website, we will probably have things on there that some people will say, well, that's annoying. You know, that's not a way to go ahead and, you know, maybe treat somebody who comes to your website. And what I mean by that is we use, for instance, a software application called Opt-in Monster. optinmonster.com. So what that does, and you guys have seen this, we've all been victims of this, right? You get to a website and you're on there for a few seconds and something pops up and it gets out in front of what you're reading and it offers a giveaway. If you go ahead and stay on my website and you close that, which of course you can close it, you don't have to go ahead and put your email in, you can continue to consume what you want to consume. When you go to exit, an exit pop-up will come up. Yep, I'm going to once again get in your way from leaving my website. And I know that's going to offend some people. Some people just do not think that's how you should do things. I mean, that's kind of, you know, getting up in front of somebody's face, interrupting them. But you know what? We have so much amazing content that's free on our website. I kind of look at that as the price of admission. Over the years, we have, you know, hundreds of amazing articles, tutorials, videos. You know, we pay people to produce that. It's super high quality. Once again, right? It's the common theme here, right? Nothing that we put up is something that's throwaway. However, yes, the price of admission is I'm going to, you know, how dare me offer you something else for free that's high value, but I do want your email because really that's my obligation. I can't help these people unless I honestly get their email and I start to communicate with them. They always have the option to opt out, right? Somebody can always decide that they do not want to receive your emails any longer. It's one click and it's done. They don't have to receive it. We will also use something called push notifications. And if you've seen these before, probably a lot of people have, a little box pops up. It says, hey, we want to keep you up to date on some tips and alerts. And it's basically just browser-based. So when they're, you know, on their computer, a little pop-up will come up and maybe we have our latest blog article has just posted and it will say, hey, this article has just been posted at Netpicks, and it gives them a chance to click that link and go directly there. Once again, somebody can opt out of that at any point, but a lot of people would consider, you know, that aggressive. However, for us, it's another way to build a list and an asset that you own. And that's not email in this case. This case, it's another type of list. And you can do that. There's a number of services. I'll just name a few, like OneSignal, PushCrew, PushMonkey. Those are not the only ones. But most of those you can start for free up to 1,000 or 2,000 people. But again, that is something that, yes, I do get out in front of them and I am aggressive with it. The third thing that we'll do is I'll go ahead with Opt-in Monster, and let's say that we have articles on options trading. This is when it gets even a little bit more sophisticated, but surprisingly simple to do with a tool like that. So if an article mentions, you know, options trading, which is a very specific type of investing, and I have a giveaway that is actually directly connected to options trading, do you not all agree that the opt-in rate is going to be substantially higher? Meaning, is somebody going to give me their email when they're reading an options article, and then I offer them some kind of tool or cheat sheet or hack that has to do with options. So very easy to do with Opt-in Monster. I can say, hey, articles that mention options or options trading, instead of the other offer, which might be more generic, give them this very specific offer to what they are reading. The opt-in rates in that case go through the roof. People want this. You're providing them at that point a great service. But again, I'm able to get their email and able to continue the conversation with them once they leave my website, because people, they're going to leave your website. They are going to forget about you. They're not going to bookmark your website. When's the last time anybody's bookmarked something? I mean, it doesn't happen like it used to, because we're on probably 20 different sites at any one time. There's not a lot of bookmarking and returning going on. And that's why maybe later we'll talk a little bit about retargeting and ways to bring people back to your website. But you have this one opportunity sometimes, and maybe the only opportunity to get this lead. So you have to go ahead and offer them something for free. Be aggressive with it. Of course, let them close it. Let them get out of it. Let them not see it every single time. You can have settings in Opt-in Monster and other comparable programs where it doesn't have to pop up every single time they visit. So you can absolutely set up some rules. Once they opt in, it shouldn't come up again, right? You know, make sure that it's not something where it's just constantly annoying. But don't be afraid to be aggressive. That is something that I wish I would have done in the beginning, because my list would have been so much larger that much quicker. And I will tell everybody that the leads that you get off of your website, if that's the direction you're going, if we're talking about, you know, building a website and building content over time, what I find is they're five times as valuable than any paid source that I have. And yes, absolutely, I spend money on paid advertising. You kind of have to eventually as you get larger, because you're going to want to scale. You can't scale necessarily as easily. It takes a lot longer organic, meaning, you know, search people coming to your website. However, I found the average lead that comes in that way naturally versus through paid is worth five times as much. And by the way, I didn't pay a nickel for them, right? Yes, I had to create content. It took time. But these are 5x, okay? And that's not an exaggeration. Sometimes it's up to 10x. So kind of think about that when you're thinking how patient you have to be when you develop content and you put it out there and nobody's looking at it for the first 6 months. Yes, that will happen. Over time, though, as you build that audience, it can get pretty fantastic. So, John, I kind of went on there, but that would be sort of like my quick tutorial on what I would suggest.
No, fascinating. Yeah, be aggressive. You named some tools, Optin Monster, the Signal, the Push Crew, Push Monkey as an example. One example after another. Great stuff. Well, sounds like you segment your list as well. You want to spend just a moment or two talking about segmenting your list and also how you treat non-buyers versus buyers with your email.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. And it reminded me too, I'll just put on another tool because tools are great. If they can solve a problem, there's one called Post Gopher. This is really nice because again, if you put out quality content, you create a blog post. Every single time you have a blog post, it'll basically give somebody the option to download that blog post in a really nice PDF. It does it for you automatically. And surprise, surprise, they put their email in and it gets added to your list. So any list service you use, any autoresponder, they're probably compatible with 12 or 20 different autoresponders out there or email programs out there. So again, that's another really nice way to provide them with something high value. They're more than happy to give you that email. So just kind of wanted to mention that as well. One final thing on that is something that's called content locking. So maybe you have something super high value on your website. Like we have a website where we actually give out specific signals. Well, I basically say, if you want to see the signals that follow, you'll get them right away, but you do need to kind of put in your email to unlock the rest of the content. So again, you can see there's a lot of really great ways to kind of do this, you know, this trade, basically. You know, you give me something of yours, I provide you something of high quality, and then off we go. So moving on to the list segmentation, yes, I do think that that's something that can be very important, especially, you know, maybe not in the beginning when you're first building a list, right? You're trying to get your first 100, your first 1,000. Segmentation is probably not as essential. But thankfully, once again, you've got some great software out there now that you can start to see how people behave. Like they take a specific giveaway that's, like in my case, like if it's options, that person is different than the person who's going to basically take a giveaway that has something to do with Forex or foreign exchange. Or the person who is involved in stock trading is different than the person who's involved in day trading. So I want to make sure that I'm starting to tag these people inside, right, of my email program, whatever I end up using. Now, we use some higher end tools that I really wouldn't suggest for people out of the gate. Like we use Infusionsoft. We use something called Meripost. You know, as you grow and your lists get bigger and you have to manage a bigger asset, this becomes a project for you. In the beginning, I don't think it's essential, but you know, again, you're really lucky starting out today versus when I started out. You know, there's multiple different email service providers you can use, but for instance, just one example, ConvertKit, is something that can very easily segment people as they come in. So if they request something very specific, like you have a nutrition website and somebody requests something on paleo, you'll know, okay, this person's paleo, this person's keto, and you can tag them so you kind of know when I'm going to go ahead and sell something specifically, I may want to go ahead and word my emails a little differently to somebody who has expressed direct interest in that part of my niche. Everything will go through the roof. The engagement will go through the roof. Open rates, engagements, click-throughs, and purchases will go through the roof when you can do that. Like John mentioned, same thing. Ultimately, when you start selling something, you're going to want to have customer lists. You're going to want to have them tagged in your email service provider because there are going to be times you're going to want to exclude those people, right? One of the things that I do to be responsible as an emailer, because I email a lot, is I don't bother people. When I know that somebody has not engaged in a specific topic, I'm not going to keep hammering them over the head with the same thing. Yes, it would be a little bit easier just to hit the send all button and send my email to everybody over and over again. But if somebody has not interacted with the first emails that I've sent on a certain topic, they haven't opened it, they haven't clicked it, They haven't done anything. They're not interested in that message. They will be interested in a different message. So at that point, I leave them alone. I start to actually exclude people from my sends. That's just as valuable as including everybody, is figuring out who not to send to. Because if you do that, once again, they're going to be open, and they're going to open, right? The next emails that come, as long as you don't just sit there over and over again, bang them on the head with the same offer or the same content that they're not interested in. So absolutely, from the beginning, make sure that you're tagging people and your email, you know, service providers, a ConvertKit, for instance, you can do this very easily. And it's going to make sure that your asset is going to be worth so much more. You're going to always have a churn with your email list. But if you do a great job with the hygiene and managing that list, and we can cover some of the ways you can do that, tagging is a big part of it. And the specific messaging is a big part of it.
Mm-hmm. Do you tell stories in your email? You ever tell personal stories or stories about traders or customers at all?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's really important to do that. People are afraid to pitch. They're afraid to offer something. If that's you and you think that you're just going to be afraid to sell something directly and have an entire email that is a sales pitch, which by the way, you can, because again, I have people very excited to hear and read what we have coming out next. They want to know what that is. They are waiting for it. So just understand, if you do this right, that will be the case. But for a lot of people, that's a little uncomfortable. So, or if you're doing a lot of emails, which yes, you absolutely can email people daily. There's nothing wrong with it. Just go ahead and provide some information, some entertainment, some kind of valuable content. And then you can just really, a lot of times, put even at the end, hey, if you're interested in learning how to do what I mentioned above, I've got this free giveaway that does XYZ, or we just put out a new course that does ABC. It could be as subtle as that. It does not have to be that aggressive or that in your face. But I do think, yes, absolutely, you want to kind of mix it up a little bit based upon, you know, your audience. Tell a personal story, discuss some of your failures, relate to them. More than likely, you've done everything wrong, right, in your niche. So have I, like in investing and trading. Tell some of those stories, you know, be honest with them about that. Be honest with them that not everything works. Like, we're in the financial space. By no means do the products that we sell, are they perfect? They absolutely lead to losses at times. That's unavoidable. Absolutely, that you can actually make a mistake on it. We can teach you something and you can still do it wrong, and that can lead to some problems. The more that you are direct and honest with people, one, you're going to attract the right kind of customers, the people that are not going to return, right? The people that are not going to take advantage of your guarantees. They're also a lot easier to deal with. I've also find the more honest and direct that we are in these emails, we kind of build a bit of this relationship. They feel like, you know, I'm providing them something. It's kind of their responsibility to be responsible and put it to use. And you know what? If they end up not using it and they put it on the shelf, they don't return it because they feel like, you know, we kind of had this bond in this contract. So the more you can do that, you'll actually attract the right kind of buyers as well. And let me tell you, that is a huge time saver because there are definitely people who can, you know, treat you like, you know, they're like vampires. They'll take everything out of you if you make it in a way too easy for them. So just some little things to kind of keep, you know, to think about as you're writing content. But you know what? Stories are much easier for people to write. You don't have to attend a professional copywriting course just to relate something personal or something that happened in your life or something that reminded you, you know, of the niche that you're involved in. Go ahead and do that, and also share the successes as well. You don't need to brag about it, but you do want people to know what are some of the rewards if they work hard, because no matter what, we're all providing something that is going to take some work and effort. You know, there really maybe is no 100% easy button. You need to remind them again of why they're doing this. And so provide some of the winning stories, both your own as well as your customers. You may not have that initially, but you will pretty quick. If you put out a quality product, people will proactively let you know what they thought of the product in a very, very positive way. This happens to us all the time. Before we even reach out to people, we get a lot of praise. And a lot of times, it's even when things aren't going great, right? When we're struggling maybe with the training and we had to redo videos because they weren't perfect, people will actually go out of their way to tell us, you know what, version two? You solved all my problems. You know, I really appreciate you redoing the thing that confused me, you know, on day one. And that happens to us all the time. We are not perfect out of the gate, and we make modifications and we make changes based upon feedback. And then those positive, you know, testimonials come in. Share those, save those, use those, you know, in your launches, in your letters, in your emails, in your video sales letters, whatever the case may be. So, you know, absolutely, that's a great way to do it. Provide some facts, provide some resources. You should never run out of things that you can email people. And they don't have to be 5 pages long, right? It can be a really good tip or a hint. It's one paragraph. And then you just say, hey, by the way, if you're interested in learning how to do ABC, go here. And you can leave it at that. You don't have to be the best copywriter in the world if you just do that.
Yeah, it's like writing a letter to a friend, really one-to-one, very personal. Obviously, as you had mentioned earlier, Mark, about really being yourself, not going corporate. The other thing that's coming through loud and clear, and I'm feeling it right now, is your high level of energy, and that just needs to be easily transferred. Again, letter to a friend, easily transferred into the messages that are going out. After all, marketing is entertainment. Marketing can be fun. The emails that are going out, they don't need to be boring. They don't need to be stuffy. They can be very personal. You can build the stories in. And I love that we can talk about your successes and failures and customer successes and possibly customer failures, loss and redemption, the hero's journey. We can build in some of the, you know, the proven templates. Speaking of failure, and I think this is pretty important, Mark, is what was or what is, maybe you're in the process of it now and you're overcoming it now, but biggest failure in your business and overcoming that, what happened?
Sure. Well, a few things that it reminds me of, and you know, whether it's biggest or not, but again, thinking about, you know, doing lead generation from day one, another thing that we did not do from day one, and we had, you know, tens of thousands of people visit our website without this. And it may seem simple, but it's super easy to forget, is putting the main pixels on your website, all your website pages. And again, if you're not totally sure what that means, it's actually very simple these days to look that up on a YouTube and get a video, but you want to put the Facebook pixel on your website, the Google pixel on your website. And I would also suggest another one, which is called AdRoll, AdRoll.com. Put their pixel on, because if you ever want to do something called retargeting, that is an amazingly simple way and low cost way to do it. But again, it's like lost opportunity. If you don't do some of these things out of the gate from day one, you're sadly going to lose a lot of people over time that, you know, could have been part of your audiences. So just kind of keep that in mind, you know, from the lead generation from day one, be asking for those emails in every situation that you have, both offline and online. Don't be afraid to do that. And make sure that you pixel your websites as well, because again, it can be lost opportunities. As far as other, you know, probably big mistakes that we have made, this might be a little bit specific, but because we are talking about email, and because I've done this dozens of times, and I know this might be getting, I don't know, this might get a little bit technical for some people, but there are ways that you can do, for instance, on the paid side of advertising with email. And you can typically, other publishers who may have newsletters in your niche will run your ad. But they may charge you something called CPC, which is cost per click. So every time somebody clicks your link in their email, you will pay a little something. There's another one called cost per lead, which I think is wonderful when you can get that. You only pay when somebody actually gives you their email, and then you pay them. Obviously, you'll pay more than per click, but it can be a great way to know exactly what you're going to pay. And then there's one called CPM, which is typically cost per thousand. So this is when you basically, somebody says, hey, I've got an email list that's 10,000 people and it's in the paleo space and you happen to have this paleo guide and perfect, it's a great match. And they're like, it's going to be, you know, $500 or $50 per thousand. So you're going to end up spending $500. I can tell you 99.8% of the time, whenever I have bought a CPM buy, I've always lost money. And it's, I don't even know if I can remember a time that I've made money with something called CPM. So what I'm trying to tell people is per performance, anytime you start to involve, and you will want to get involved with paid advertising later on, you only want to pay for some type of specific performance. The same goes if you're going to advertise online. You know, it's going to be very appealing in the beginning to do sometimes like these really cheap banner advertisements where your banner is going up on various websites. One, typically almost always they're junk, the websites you're going to be on. Number two, you're going to pay really little per thousand impressions, but again, it's going to add up very quickly and you're not going to have anything to show for it. Different story, of course, if you're paying per click or maybe paying per lead, then at least you can measure that. You know what to expect. Like I know if I get two clicks, I should get one email or very close. 40 to 50% of the clicks that I get should lead to an email if it's a good giveaway. So I can calculate up front what that lead's going to cost me. And if I'm not seeing that right away, I can cancel that very quickly just by knowing my numbers. So that's very, very important. Probably the other big mistake that we made was not really measuring in the beginning where our leads were coming from and what the value was. And again, this is very easy to do these days. For me, back in the day, you needed custom software. This isn't something you need anymore. So you can actually buy like or have an all-in-one application like something called Kartra, K-A-R-T-R-A, which can be your shopping cart. It can be your email provider. It can also do tagging. but it could tell you, for instance, on this lead source, including free lead sources, I'm not saying just paid. Maybe you run YouTube, you have a YouTube channel, which I think is an amazing way to build leads. Probably one of my favorites, if not my favorite right now. You can track that those leads came in from YouTube and what the value is of those leads. That's when you know I should put more time to something or less time. It's a mistake that we made for a number of years. Honestly, we had no idea what the actual revenue, what the ROI was on free and paid. We didn't segment, we didn't tag things properly. Huge lost opportunity. But I can guarantee you today, we do all of that. So again, if all of you can do some of this, the mistakes that I made, out of the gate, you're going to be so much further ahead than I was certainly years ago.
Wow. How do you go from YouTube to an email list? Can you connect the dots for folks there?
Yeah, this is one of my favorite strategies right now. Again, I can't even believe the ROI because all we're paying for is our time to post a good quality content video. So yes, once again, when you start from the beginning, this is the hardest thing for people. We're all impatient. Your number of followers on YouTube or Facebook or anything else, Instagram, is going to be zero, right? But you got to start there. And yes, I have to tell people, it could take 3 to 6 months to start building up an audience, but it will happen. It actually really does happen if you just give it that time and you're consistent. So the way that we do it with YouTube is on the free side is we'll go ahead and we'll post like a tutorial video. We'll write a blog post and we'll basically just turn that blog post into a video. We don't have to redo the blog post. Somebody already wrote the article. We just then just show it on the screen. And a lot of times it could just be showing the text. Maybe in our case, because we like to demonstrate, we show a screenshot of what our screen looked like that we're trying to have a specific trading example. And then of course we're narrating it. It doesn't hurt if you want, have yourself on the camera in the corner, again, that eye to eye contact, or even the very beginning, I would suggest that. Don't have to do it if you don't want to, but it's just that little additional step. And then what we've done is we just come up with some really simple URLs. So maybe I'm giving away some piece of software. So I might come up with a simple URL like freesoftware.com. Of course, that's not available, but it'll be something specific to, like, we have something called price patterns. So I might just go freepricepattern.com. So during the video, we're going to be talking for a while, content, and then we might say, hey, if you're interested in learning more about these type of patterns that we're showing you, we put together a free guide. Go to freepricepattern.com. So, and then we continue with the tutorial, right? Really easy, right? That's not hard. That's not a big ad. You're not having to oversell. You're just offering something additional value to what they're already watching. Then you make sure that you put that on the video on the screen, right? You have the text pop up on the screen. So it says www.freepricepattern.com because not everybody, surprisingly, is always listening. Sometimes these days, the mobile, they're just kind of watching the video. So that's why it's a good idea to have a lot of words on the screen as well. Then, of course, we'll also put it in the description down below. On mobile, you don't see the description, so you can't just put it there and expect to get leads. But do it in those three places, and you will absolutely, as people start to watch your videos, you will start to get interaction and you will start to get leads. The next thing you want to do is YouTube rewards you if people are leaving comments, if people are giving you a thumbs up. So just make sure every single time in your video, you ask them. It seems silly sometimes, but every single good channel that you guys watch on YouTube will always say this. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you hit the bell to be alerted. Give me a thumbs up. And hey, let me ask you a question. Leave a comment below. Do you know the reason they do that? Because that's what YouTube is measuring them on. Interactivity, with interacting with that video, then they will go ahead and they will start to serve you in other people's, YouTube feeds and suggested videos. That's a big thing you can do. And then also as you grow, surprise, surprise, an email list, what else can you do? You can email your list saying, hey, Joe, Jim, John, I put out a new video that is a tutorial on XYZ. Check it out. You know what that's going to do? That's going to give you immediate traffic to that video. That's going to give you comments, thumbs ups, right? Everything you wanted is going to happen. And maybe that's a giveaway they didn't have. So it's another giveaway that you didn't get them that they see. And even though they're already on your list, you just provided them another piece of value. And now next time you go to sell something more aggressively, what might happen? They're going to like you that much more. And they're much more likely again to convert. So this is just amazing thing, just feeds on itself. And it would be something that I would start day one if I was anybody listening.
Wow. That what you just described, Mark, was worthy of many hundreds of dollars because it's a free technique, very straightforward for anyone to utilize. It's repurposing or leveraging the brain power that you or your team have already put in. So it's not like it's brand new work from scratch. You're just leveraging what you've already done. you're making it clear that you don't have to be newscaster style. You don't have to show your face. Obviously, that helps. And then the specific tips, I actually wrote these down. This is rare these days where I'm actually writing things down when I'm interacting with folks, because I'm like, yeah, I get that. I know that. But this specifically, you want to say the URL. You want to put the URL in the video on the screen, perhaps in the lower third, but perhaps other places as well. And then you also want to put it into the description. And you also mentioned something that I want to drill into just for a moment, which is you're going to go buy a custom domain that is for the sole purpose of being related to that video or that topic that redirects over to a page that you've set up. And very likely, I'm guessing here, is that you have an opt-in form, a squeeze page, or a giveaway page where people are opting in. It's all related to that specific brand new domain that you set up or one that you've been using for a while on that topic. I also grabbed a note here as well about something that I like to call Captain Obvious. This is so obvious, but by asking very simply, asking for comments, what you're doing is it's like a flare going up. You know, you're in the dark and you shoot the flare up in the sky. You are utilizing social signals by signaling not just to the community, the folks that are following you, but more importantly to YouTube itself and the algorithms, which are paying attention to the interactivity. Those are social signals that you're giving off. The other thing is I'm all positive that YouTube is very happy to have outside traffic coming in. Yet again, another social signal, people clicking and coming in from, you know, Gmail, which they, by the way, right, YouTube is Google. So it's, you know, a lot of people are using Gmail these days. They're coming from Gmail over to YouTube, yet another signal there. So these social signals all working in your favor, right? The ocean rises and all the different boats that you've set out there are rising all at the same time. And I think it's just brilliant that you're able to really enforce this almost closed loop, even though you're using these properties and these Google and YouTube tools and so forth. It's a virtuous circle, right, where the audience gets bigger over on YouTube. As the YouTube audience gets bigger, your email list gets bigger, and then, of course, you're pushing people back over to YouTube, and it's this virtuous circle, ever-growing, ever more powerful. So that right there, like I said, that was a very brief summary. Mark, you said it much better than I did, that's for sure. But I got to tell you, that's worth many hundreds of dollars. I've experienced courses that have sold for $500 and $1,000 that aren't half as good as that and don't go into those specific tips, tricks, and details. So that was just a golden opportunity for folks to take this. And it's free too. I just think that's fantastic that you've laid that out. Thanks, Mark. Regarding emails that you send out, speaking of sending emails, HTML versus plain text or some mix? How do you decide? What do you do in your business? What works best?
Yeah, I mean, there was a time that we were doing a lot of text-only emails. There were definitely seemed to be some deliverability advantages in text-only emails. But these days, that is not what we're experiencing at all. Now, this does not mean when we send out an HTML email that it has to be loaded with graphics and GIFs and funny, you know, memes or anything like that. It could be all text, but I send out all text basically as an HTML because you get so much better stats. You're going to get open rates. You're going to get proper click-through rates. You're going to get the type of interactivity that you want to know. You know, one thing that we do all the time that some people do, but a lot of people miss out on is in a day or two later, I will send the same email, maybe with a different subject, to everybody who has not opened that email. And many times you may not quite double, but you could probably add 50% plus onto your performance of an email just by resending to the unopens. Do it, use a different subject, change the time a little bit. And it's quite phenomenal because you spend no additional time doing that, but you need to typically anyway, and most email providers send out the email in HTML. So yes, a lot of my emails might be all text, but they're actually a text email that's in HTML. Again, super simple to do on any of the current email providers. You can just simply type the text and it's converting it to email. You know, you can do that on a simple AWeber or GetResponse, or you can do it on ConvertKit or Kartra or any of the ones that we mentioned. But that would be my recommendation. I have not found any advantage to just sending plain text only or trying to come up with a plain text version. That used to be something we did back in the day. But I find it completely unnecessary now. We get extremely good on open rates. I mean, let's put it this way. Most of the Gmails and Hotmails and Yahoos, they figured out many great ways to filter out emails, maybe unfortunately. So I think something you may want to do more importantly is test your emails if you're not an experienced copywriter in the beginning. There are things out there. One that I would recommend is called Mail Tester. It's mail-tester.com. Before you blast your email out to everybody, you send it to a specific email address they will give you. This is free. You wait about 2 or 3 minutes, and then they will analyze your email and tell you, hey, maybe you used too many images, or maybe you used too many spammy type words, like the word free too many times. Doesn't mean you can't use that word, but people tend to overuse certain words. That's another free way. You won't have to do this every time. You'll become a really good copywriter, email writer over time, and you'll learn these things automatically. But I would absolutely use that in the beginning. The other tool that I would consider using is something called Grammarly.com, Grammarly.com, because it is amazing how, I know for me, when I write, I have a lot of spelling errors, I miss punctuation, I look at it, it looks perfect, then I put it in Grammarly, it's got all kinds of issues. Again, it's just a little bit how you're presenting to people. You can write faster this way, you don't have to write perfectly, so you can crank out an email pretty quickly, you put it in Grammarly, it makes it perfect, it suggests other words, you send it to Mail Tester, and man, now you have, you know, an email that's going to more than likely get into people's inboxes, more than likely get it read, it's going to get delivered, and they're going to like what they read.
That's money in the bank. Appreciate the tools and the name dropping there. It's fantastic. And again, I'm taking notes on these tools, and I hope everyone following along does the same. Question about these subject lines. What have you found that tends to work with your subject lines over and over? You know, long versus short. All caps versus, you know, sentence style structure, more personal. What are you doing these days to get open rates for your emails as high as possible?
Sorry, John, I was pausing there because do you mind? I actually have to run off for a bit, and I know we're on a roll. Is it possible to come back and sort of finish up a little bit later today?
Yeah, absolutely. I had just a few questions left. There's no problem with that. We can definitely have a part two. So we'll have a bit of a pause here, and then we'll just do it as a part two and edit that out. There's no problem with that at all. This is great, great stuff. I was actually planning on a little bit less than an hour, but this is so good. It's over the top. So yeah, let's plan on later today. We'll plan on maybe 10, 15 minutes to wrap things up at the most, and we're good. So, okay.
Yeah, for me, anytime, I just got to be, I'm going to be out for about 2 hours. So anytime after that, if you just want to pick a time, then I'll be available. So what works? Do you want to pick a time now?
And I have a call at 3. So, and then I've got one from 12 to 1. So, and let's see, 2 hours at 1 o'clock, my time, 2 p.m.?
Yeah, 2 p.m. Is that my time or your time?
2 p.m. 3 p.m. Eastern.
Okay, 2 p.m. for me.
Yeah, 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Central. Yes, that'll work.
Yeah, I think the subject is a great topic. So
yeah, it's really hot. Right. Yeah, and there's actually even you know, as we're going through this, well, the tools that you use, the tools that we use, how we approach things. I mean, it's fantastic. I mean, even the blog stuff, the YouTube material that really is fantastic. I mean, I've heard a bunch of that before, but you put it all right in a row. It's great. In any event, Mark, we'll talk at 3 Eastern or 2 p.m. Central.
Okay, perfect. We'll pick it up then. Thanks, John. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Bye.